In each case, we wanted to focus on one idea the person was known for. So, of course, there are many other topics that could be discussed in any of these authors.
This is All About Jack, a C.S. Lewis podcast, a feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm your host, William O'Flaherty. Today, I'm speaking with Jennifer Woodruff Tate. She's the managing editor of Christian History Magazine, a publication that has been around since the early 1980s. She's here to discuss an issue just releasing that focuses on seven literary sages, and C.S. Lewis, of course, is among them, and several of his friends. Welcome to All About Jack, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Now, let's begin by having you share about the focus of this issue, and we'll have you give background information about the publication in general later. This issue, again, is called Seven Literary Sages. Who are they, and who are the contributors?
The seven sages are the sages that are collected at the Wade Center in Wheaton. They are George MacDonald, G.K. Chesterton, J.R.R. Tolkien, Lewis, Dorothy Sayers, Charles Williams, and Owen Barfield. And we have articles by a number of people who study those authors, Ralph Wood, Brian Horn, Kirsten Jeffrey Johnson, Alistair McGrath, Michael Ward, Colin Duryea's, and David and Crystal Downing are among the contributors.
Well, now, faithful listeners to my program will recognize several of the authors who have been on my show before. You mentioned Alistair McGrath, Colin Duryea, David Downing, and Michael Ward. So would you mind maybe giving some details about their contributions to this issue, first of all?
Well, Alistair McGrath was in an opening forum that we had in the issue. We had several people talking about the significance of the seven sages, their visions, why those visions are still important today. So Dr. McGrath was in that forum. Colin was in that forum. David Downing's wife, Crystal, was in that forum. Then Colin did for us several sidebars, one on the Inklings in particular, and one on Tolkien's views of subcreation. And he also contributed a number of his photographs to the issue. David Downing and Michael Ward did articles on Lewis's views of education. Michael from the UK context and David from the US context. Since those contexts are so different, we wanted to have two articles on that. So they both spoke about Lewis's views on education. And Michael also wrote a short sidebar on the 50th anniversary laying of the memorial stone in Westminster Abbey, which, by the way, I got to attend, and it was fantastic and amazing. And Michael has a small report on that and what was done and how the service proceeded. And they're all wonderful contributions, and I look forward to your listeners getting a chance to read them.
Well, now, how about some of the other articles in this issue? Again, it's called Seven Literary Sages, and we'll be telling people in a few minutes about how they can get a copy. Would you pick a few of the others and tell us more about the articles?
Yeah, the article about MacDonald, which starts off the issue, since he was, you know, very influential on many of those other people, is about his view of goodness and holiness and how attractive he made that picture and what an impact it had on Lewis, Chesterton, and others. The article by Ralph Wood about Chesterton is very interesting. It's on Chesterton's economics, his view of distributism, how he wanted to reject both capitalism and socialism and come up with an economic idea that he thought was a Christian idea and that he thought would give freedom from the state and from large corporations and that kind of thing to, you know, to the average person. And then the one about Williams is about, you know, how complicated Williams is, but also how he had a vision of life as being interconnected and our ability to suffer on behalf of each other for the sake of others and out of our Christian love for them. And then finally, the one on Barfield, we called The Forgotten Inkling, and my husband, Edwin Tate, who is a Barfield scholar, actually wrote that. And it's about Barfield's view of the imagination and how, in many ways, Lewis and Tolkien would not be who they were or have written what they had written if they had not encountered Barfield's ideas. And yet at the same time, you know, many people have never heard of Barfield. So they're all very fascinating. In each case, we wanted to focus on one idea that the person was known for. So of course, there are many other topics that could be discussed in any of these authors, but in each case, we're zooming in on this one topic that was related to them.
Well, now, before going any further, I think my listeners will be pleased to learn how easy it is to get a copy of this issue and others of Christian History Magazine. So what does a person need to do to obtain it?
Well, if you have access to the internet, which you probably do if you're listening to this podcast, the easiest thing to do is to go to our website, which is christianhistorymagazine.org. If you put Christian History Magazine into Google, we'll come up. There's a very obvious link on the front page to subscription information, and you can also order back issues from a link there. And if you prefer to talk to human beings on the phone to make your order, the phone number is on the website, but it is 800-468-0458. And so either way, call or go online, and it should be very easy to figure out how to read this issue and order others.
All right. And they actually can go online right now if they're listening to this interview at the time we're releasing it. It is the latest issue, and they can read it freely online as well. If not, they can do a search for it, and we'll talk in a minute about the other issues as well.
This is, the issue that is just releasing, and when you go to the website, it's front and center on the front page. You can read it online in color, see all the pictures, which are half the fun of Christian history is the pictures. We have great art, and you can, see the whole thing there, read it on a device, anything you like, as well as ordering it.
Right, yeah. A lot of people do like having that physical copy, and we do encourage people to go that direction as well. Well, now let's take a few minutes to have you tell about yourself in terms of your involvement as the managing editor, as well as how this issue came to be, and maybe some behind the scenes in terms of the creation of this edition of Christian History Magazine.
Well, I've been the managing editor of the magazine since October 2012. This is, I think, my 10th or 11th issue. I wrote for Christian History Magazine long before that, during the period when it was published by Christianity Today. And the first article I ever wrote in 2003 was for the Tolkien issue, and it was about the Inklings Oxford. So doing this issue was in many ways coming full circle. It was a lot of fun. I write for other publications, and I have degrees in English, bachelor's degree in English, library science and theology, and a PhD from Duke in American religious history. And obviously, being the editor of Christian History has allowed me to branch out into a lot of other areas that I wouldn't necessarily have studied in my PhD and learn about them. So it's been a lot of fun. This issue was the brainchild of our senior editor, Chris Armstrong, and Marjorie Lamp Mead at the Wade Center in Wheaton. They wanted to do something to celebrate the Wade Center's 50th anniversary. And they came up with the idea of collaborating on this issue. So Marge Mead helped us identify some authors. A lot of the photographs and drawings that are in the issue were things that the Wade allowed us to use. And, I got to go at one point to the Wade Center during the creation of this, meet with her, see all the fascinating things that they have there. And so it's not just a celebration of these seven people and their Christian vision, but it's also very much meant as a celebration of the Wade, who has preserved the history of these people for so long.
The topic of past issues have been mentioned, and I have read the different ones that you're getting ready to talk about in terms of Lewis. Let's go into that further. What previous editions do you think my listeners would especially like, along with the names of other issues you think really stand out that you want to highlight?
If you want to read the ones, start with the ones that we have done about the Seven Sages. The two that are still available to purchase are numbers 86, which is on George MacDonald, and number 88, which is on Lewis. And those are on the website to order back issues. There are three more Seven Sages, Inklings kind of issues that are no longer in print, but they can still be read on the website. Number 75, which is about Chesterton. Number 78, which is about Tolkien, which, as I said before, is the first issue that I ever wrote for. And number 7, which was one of the first issues ever published of Christian History Magazine, and it was about Lewis. Quite early on in the magazine's history, the people behind it thought that, Lewis was important and they wanted to talk about him. Those are sort of the Inklings and Sages group of issues. There are, a number of other interesting issues that we've published recently. I think all of them are good, so it's hard to pick. People who are into Lewis might well be into the Middle Ages, and so I might particularly highlight our Charlemagne issue, which is number 108, which brought up a lot of interesting stuff about Charlemagne and the educational renaissance that he fostered and what life was like in the Middle Ages. So I think that's another one that these listeners might particularly enjoy.
Great. And yeah, I actually own a physical copy of issue number 7 with C.S. Lewis. And I think another group actually did a audio version of it. Well, I know one is out there because I do own one. But I remember back then noticing that when it came out. Too bad you still can't get a physical copy, but they can read that and the other ones as well. We definitely encourage people to check out the other ones and then get physical copies if you're interested in having that as well. Returning to the current issue, 7 Literary Sages, again, is the title. What final thoughts as we wrap up about it would you like to share to convince someone to get a copy?
Yeah, well, the subtitle of the issue, which I actually forgot to mention earlier, is Why We Still Need Their Vision Today. And so our focus in the issue very much was not simply on telling the life stories of these people or talking about interesting ideas that they had, although we did that, but we wanted to make clear that these people were Christian thinkers who thought as Christians about how to deal with culture, how to deal with education, how to deal with economics, how to sort of stand in the gap against kinds of art that had a different focus. And so throughout the issue, very much we've tried to talk about what we can come away from this today. Taking, whether it's, you know, Sayer's view that all art and all work can be done to the glory of God, whether it's Chesterton's view that little people matter in the economy and we leave them behind at our peril, whether it's Lewis's view that, you know, education is not just cramming things down people's throats, but teaching people to love what is good and to pursue it and to gain not just knowledge, but real deep learning. Whether it's Barfield's view that the imagination is primary in human consciousness and it's one of the major ways God speaks to us and we enjoy that, we ignore that at our peril. These are all things that I think are really important for modern Christians to hear. And I hope that people will buy the issue, read the issue, and come away from the issue encouraged to engage culture in the way that the seven sages did and to follow the principles and the vision that they laid out.
Again, the issue is called 7 Literary Sages. It's produced by the Christian History Magazine, along with what you heard in terms of where to go online. I'll have links in the show notes, so be sure to check that out. Well, Jennifer, thank you for being with me today.
Thank you very much.
Before closing, let me encourage you to consider sharing this and other interviews I've done here at All About Jack, which is a feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. And as noted a moment ago, don't forget to check the show notes for links to what's been mentioned during the show, as well as going to EssentialCSLewis.com in general for other Lewis-related content. If you are just interested in the podcast, you could go to allaboutjack.podbean.com, where only the audio content is found. I'm William O'Flaherty, your host, and let me encourage you to check out past shows that include postings of a few programs released a couple of years ago, for example, an essay chat with Dr. Bruce Edwards on meditation in a tool shed, and an interview with Dr. David Clark on his study guide to the Great Divorce called C.S. Lewis Goes to Heaven. Recent news shows at the time of this recorded include a 2-part roundtable chat with 3 individuals where we compare the movie versions of The Hobbit versus the book. Questions or comments can be directed by email, info@EssentialCSLewis.com. Again, that's info@EssentialCSLewis.com.